Let's turn to one final passage of Scripture. Joel chapter 2. This is the passage that the sister had in mind when she spoke about a Joel fast. Joel 2:14. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babies. And incidentally, in those days, we had children and nursing babies in that meeting almost every morning. And the little children were disappointed when their parents didn't wake them up to take them to the fast, to the prayer. I mean, it was a real example of this. Let's go on. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Notice if you follow there, there are three categories mentioned. The priests, the ministers, and the elders. And here is a responsibility of leadership in the church. It's to set the example, to take the lead. You know who leaders are? They're people who go in front. Sometimes the ministers are leading from behind. That's not leadership. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane took his disciples with him. And then he took three. And they stopped. And then it says, he went a little further. That's leadership. It's to go a little further. I heard a pastor once say, I have to run to catch up with my people. That's not leadership. Here's the responsibility of leadership. Now, listen to the final statement. We're in the same chapter, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream dreams. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Afterward, after what? After what? After God's people have met his conditions. Now I know that Peter quoted that in the day of Pentecost and he said, it shall come to pass in the last days. But that was not a total fulfillment, that was an anticipatory fulfillment. And it's very significant because in that passage in Acts 2, Peter quotes the Lord as saying, I will pour out of my spirit. Some of my spirit. And that began on the day of Pentecost. But in this passage, God says, I will pour out my spirit. Not some of my spirit, but I will release my spirit on earth. On all flesh. Brothers and sisters, we haven't seen that. We've seen a sprinkling. There are about 1 billion Muslims in the earth that have never been touched by the Spirit of God. How are we going to reach them? What will release the Spirit of God? I tell you, if you've ever dealt with Islam, it's an impregnable fortress to any natural approach. You have to meet it with the spiritual means. What is God's program? Call a fast, sanctify assembly. Let the elders, the priests, and the ministers set an example. And God says, in my time, when you've met my conditions, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. I believe that's the solution, and I don't believe there is any other. And I believe God has shown us in Scripture the way. Shall we just bow our heads before the Lord for a moment and ask God, I want to ask you that you'll ask God to show you if this is from him. Ruth and I were with David and Dale Garrett just recently in Hawaii, close friends of ours. And they very graciously and wonderfully prayed for our meetings here. And they said they felt that God wanted to speak to New Zealand. I'm inclined to think this is God's message to New Zealand. Let's just quiet our hearts before the Lord, just briefly for a few moments.